This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Like to tell you along with Charlie Long running things smoothly behind the scenes. At 5:45, we'll have Steve Geller in our triple option feature. And at 4:20 this afternoon, we'll have on with us the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson, will join us here on Sports Talk. Charlie, we don't normally kind of open Sports Talk with basketball, NBA, other than Pelicans. But last night, the Timberwolves, and man, they got a lot of Laker fans in the state of Louisiana and in around New Orleans area. Well, they got KO'd and knocked out of the series by the Timberwolves last night, 103-96. And all I can say is that's got to be a major disappointment. You won the trade and you got Luka in, but man, Minnesota last night, and you made a run at them. They could not finish the deal.
Yeah, size matters. The Lakers roster was flawed. I mean, that was the big issue. They tried to bring in Mark Williams ahead of the deadline from Charlotte, the center, and it fell through. He apparently failed his physical, and that's why that deal did not happen. So they just didn't have a center. And I'll say this, Mike. I think I texted it to you. I know I texted it to Steve as the game was happening. I was smiling like the Cheshire Cat every single time they showed Jackson Hayes on the side, on the bench. You know, for a team that didn't have any kind of center play or any rebounding, any size at all to deal with guys like Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle, they still didn't even throw him in there because he's that bad. So, you know, best of luck to the Lakers in the offseason finding their big man, because that's a clear hole on their roster right now.
One of the things, Charlie, I think when you look at it is that I think when they made the deal for Luka, I think they really thought, hey, we're going to get maybe to the finals with this team. And it just wasn't there. And what you brought up about the center position, I think is huge. And that's something that the Lakers got to address in the offseason. Goes to show everybody's a bit flawed, no matter what, in the NBA, one way or another. You look at the Celtics, their flaws are small. And OKC, it's maybe a little bit bigger, but not much. That everybody's looking for that big man or that shooting guard that can make it work. And it didn't work out for the Lakers. And now they sort of back to the drawing board to try to find a big man.
Yeah, and there were some comments that came out recently about J.J. Redick, the head coach, saying that they need, you know, their players to be quote-unquote championship conditioned. And, you know, a lot of folks are kind of taking that as a potential shot towards Luka Doncic, who just, I mean, especially after he had the kind of hip issue last night, the back issue, he really looked sluggish. And it looked like a team that had played their starters for a full second half in the game prior. You know, JJ went all in on trying to knot up that series at two games apiece. And as soon as the Timberwolves went up 3-1, he kind of felt that it was over, and they sealed the deal last night. So good for Minnesota. I mean, a lot of people overlooked them, Mike. We'll talk with Nick Friedell later on in the show about the NBA playoffs, and specifically the Western Conference. It's been really fascinating to watch unfold where, you know, OKC, listen, they're a step above everybody else. That's one thing. But The Clippers and Nuggets series has been fascinating to watch. It's been fantastic for basically four of the five games. Jamal Murray had a crazy playoff performance in that game five victory in Denver. But then outside of that, like, I think Minnesota is maybe one of those contenders that people weren't considering ahead of the playoffs. Everyone thought that they were just going to lose to Luka and LeBron. And now look at them. They're in the second round with a potential matchup against the winner of Houston and Golden State. And Golden State, who we were thinking was going to close out the series last night, they kind of get thwapped. And then all of a sudden, it's a 3-2 series heading back to Golden State. And we'll see if Houston's got any more fight left in them. But the Western Conference has been awesome. And I think that, I had called the Clippers the quote-unquote snake in the grass, but I guess it could be Minnesota, Mike.
Yeah, and man, they're a talented team. And, when you saw the Lakers make the run last night, Adam, man, they answered back, Charlie. No intimidation from them. None. And they answered right back and ended up pulling the game out. You brought up the Rockets, Warriors, and yeah, we had both talked about this, that this may be the end for the Rockets. But last night, man, Golden State, they just could not seal the deal.
Yeah, Houston has a little bit more fight left in them than we thought. The one thing I will say that's really cool, I saw that Adidas had put this out on Twitter, Mike, after Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves closed out that 4-1 series victory over the Lakers. They call Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man, they call him the Kingslayer. Now, at back-to-back first round series, he takes out Kevin Durant and this time LeBron James. And now you're looking ahead to this upcoming matchup. Last year, they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals and Ant took out, once again, KD. And then in the second round, he took out Jokic on the way to the West Finals. This year, he might be able to take out LeBron. And we'll see if, Steph Curry's lying in wait in that round too, Mike.
Absolutely. We come back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. We'll have the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson, with us right here on Sports Talk on the Big 870.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long, Mike Dettillier, and happy to welcome in now to the radio huddle your coach of the second-ranked LSU baseball squad, Jay Johnson. Thanks so much for joining us from College Station. How's it going over there, Coach?
It's good. We're navigating the weather, figuring out what we're going to do with tomorrow. So, it's that time of year. Thunderstorms in the south.
Yeah, Coach, it's typical summer weather when it gets to May where you can get some bad weather situations. Looking at it, and just have you comment on your ace DeMar and Cade Anderson, just how well he's pitched this year. Really, really has. And he's really been a godsend for your baseball team. And well, he's got some really good hitting around him. Man, Cade has just been terrific all season long.
Cade has been outstanding. And you guys know from a couple years ago, when you have one of those elite pitchers like Cade, you know, like Paul Skeens, it just – it has a multiplying effect. Number one, it gets a good start in the series, and you know we've only, and then it helps you know set up the rest of your pitching and bullpen in a way that gives you the best chance to be successful on a weekend, whether that's sweep or win a series. And he's been great. Really proud of the improvements he's made over the last year, and excited to see him keep it going.
Coach, after Sunday's victory, taking game three against Tennessee in run rule fashion, I loved your comments about Derek Curiel, one of the best games you've ever seen from a position player in all your years of college coaching. But Curiel's been fantastic. I mean, you can't see, there's not enough good adjectives you can use to talk about the freshman outfielder. One thing, though, when we were talking with Todd Walker last night, who now does work with the SEC Network, he mentioned that Curiel sees 4.3 pitches per plate appearance. And that's, you know, leads into why he leads the team in walks with 39, and that long streak that he had that just got broken this past weekend of, you know, getting on base every single game. But he's been phenomenal, especially in the leadoff spot for your team.
No question about it. Can't ask for much more than what Derek has provided us. Doesn't make recruiting him for like 6 years. So to finally have him on my team and coach him, he's doing a great job. And I think what I'm proud of the most is the emotional and mental maturity. Really hard, you know, for freshmen to, you know, not only stand out, but play, you know, at a SEC or top SEC program. And he's done it and done it in a really, really impactful way. And a huge hit on Friday night to tie the game, to set the table for Jared Jones, homer. And somebody finally got him out on Saturday, and then he hadn't gotten out since between Sunday and Tuesday's game. So real proud of what Derek's doing.
Coach, one of the guys you brought up, and you had to play against him for a couple of years, but you're able to sign him and bring him here. And he's been better than I thought, because I thought last year Michael Braswell, he didn't play as well as 2 years ago. But that's baseball. That's just part of kind of the loop you go through. Comments on just the type of impact Michael Braswell has had on this baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a good job for us. And this year has actually been very similar to last year, and got off to a little bit of a slow start offensively and then really picked it up the back half of the SEC play in the postseason last year, and was a catalyst for that team and kind of doing it right now. And he's really helping make our lineup long, I think, moving from shortstop to third base and handling third base as well as he has defensively has been a huge lift. I think it's actually one of the most under-talked about things about our team and our success is our infield defense with Michael, Steven, Danny Dickinson, and Jared Jones has been spectacular. You know, we've done a good job of not really giving things to the opponent, and I think that's really helped our pitching staff.
Coach, it's one of those things when you have it, people don't really talk about it, but when you don't have it, people will always bitch about it. So, yeah, you're 100% on point there. But I want to get your thoughts also, because it's the same thing with the bullpen pitching, right? When you have it, like, it's such a luxury. And Cason Evans and Zach Cowan have been so fantastic all season long for you. And Cason Evans specifically, you know, this past weekend against Tennessee, making his first collegiate start as a freshman, you know, he's been excellent out of the bullpen. He struggles a little bit early on, but then he's just locked down for five straight innings and puts up all these zeros. I know you talked about him postgame as well, saying that you like seeing, you know, having that kid on the mound to give you six scoreless in a 0-0 game versus potentially giving you a couple scoreless in a really tight game. What's your thoughts on the usage of Cason Evans for the rest of the season? Because he's a weapon either way you slice it, you know, out of the bullpen or potentially as a starter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, when we recruited and signed him, knew we really won one there that would be impactful. And then getting him through the professional draft last year was a big win for us, you know, very much in the same thought process as Derek Curiel or William Schmidt. And he's just got really good maturity. He's got really good stuff. As far as going forward, first thing is, you know, this is a huge piece for this team to win, and then a huge piece for, you know, our program's future the next couple years. And so first off, we'll do what's best for him, lining him up correctly, And, you know, I think it's probably not far-fetched to see you will see him come out of the pen again and you will see him start again. That's probably the best I can give you. So,
Steve, I know you wanted to jump in with a question.
Yeah, Coach Johnson, I'm just wondering, you know, how do you stay sane when you look at these standings in the SEC? I know you see the battle going constantly on between all you the ball clubs there, and from top to bottom, just, you know, you can't say enough also about this conference, how tough it is. And I know you've recognized it, saying basically every weekend is another playoff matchup for you, but how do you stay and keep the team grounded going into these matchups against such tight top tier talent every week?
Well, I think we've had a unique schedule. And what I mean by that is, you know, we just played Tennessee, who was an Omaha team, caliber team, Alabama, who's an Omaha caliber team, Auburn, who's an Omaha caliber team, Oklahoma on the road, Omaha caliber team. And I believe this Texas A&M team is as well. And a couple weeks prior to that, we played Texas, who's the number one team in the country. So we're kind of going through a stretch that you can't really relate to unless you're inside the SEC and inside one of these stretches. I think one of the things our team can hang our hat on is we've beaten some of the best pitchers in the league, and maybe we didn't beat them, but we've won the game that they've pitched in, you know, like last week with Liam Doyle, or at Oklahoma with Witherspoon. So you should build a ton of confidence. I think, you know, emotionally and mentally, it's a challenge. It's a real, real challenge. I think the Auburn series was a good learning experience for us. I mean, to that point, through 34 games, our team was probably playing as a consistent high level as you probably could ask for. And we lost to a good team on the road, you know, a couple close games, and they played better than us. I thought our team gave it, you know, everything they had, but was maybe a little bit tired from, you know, this grind that you go through. So you have to use that for your benefit, you know, and you get into a situation like this where you're back out on the road, you know that you have to bring your best to even be in the game, and it's going to take execution to win the game. But I really like the makeup of this team. I like how they've gone about their business, and, you know, we got a few more tough weeks ahead of us, so we got to keep at it.
Coach, a little bit about A&M and that, you know, preseason they were number one ranked in a lot of magazines that came out. A lot of people put them at the top. And then you sustain a major injury to one of your star players, and who everybody maybe thought was the star for the Aggies, and you lose him for the year. And I always believe this in sports that, okay, you survived the earthquake. Now can you survive the tremors afterwards? Uh-huh. And I think for A&M, you know, it was rough to survive the tremors that effect had on that baseball team overall. And then they got some solid footing afterwards. Now, okay, to lose to Texas the way they did, I mean, all those games were, I mean, razor close last weekend. But I do think with this Aggie team, they are really talented. But that early loss of a superstar player really had a negative effect early, and they're just sort of coming out of those tremors of feeling that guy's not there anymore. We got to figure out another way to win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, talking about Gavin Grahovac, and he's an impactful player, real hitter, you know, all of those types of things. So, yeah, I mean, you take anybody's best hitter out of their lineup, it's going to make a dent. You know, this is a really talented team, though, in spite of that, you know, with Caden Sorrell, Jace Lavalette, Harrison's a transfer they got in there that swung the bat well. Really good freshman in Terrence Keel. You know, they got a really veteran starting rotation, and some good arm talent out of the bullpen. So, like I said, this is an Omaha caliber team. You know, they did kind of survive that deal. And I mean, if you look at their last few weeks, like, they got swept to Texas, but it was 3-1 run games and they had runners on base every inning. Prior to that, they won the series at Arkansas, who's, you know, one of the top programs in the country. They won a series at Tennessee, who, you know, our guys are happy about beating Tennessee because it's, you know, it's a really good team. So that tells you how good they are. And they did that on the road. They swept South Carolina. So, you know, over the past 4 weeks, this team's playing like a team that should have been the number one team in the country preseason. And so It's going to be a great challenge.
Yeah, and how one day, really, Coach Johnson can change an entire season for a team. Because in that series against Tennessee, you get shut out. You get no hit in that opener. And then back-to-back on a doubleheader, one single day, they put up 26 runs against that Tennessee pitching staff, which we just saw. And they win both of those matchups. And then from there, they've just kind of taken off. The offense has been hot, but the pitching staff has been the consistent thing all season long for them. It was really that the offense wasn't matching the pitching kind of early, but now it's kind of evened out a little bit here. They're number 7 in the SEC in team ERA at 4.3. As you mentioned, the starting rotation, I want to get your thoughts on Prager, Lampkin, and then Patton as well, because it feels like it's a really good weekend group for this Texas A&M lineup. And they're also all lefties, so the challenge of facing a bunch of left-handed pitchers on the mound as well.
Yeah, I think when you look at Prager, I mean, he's one of the more experienced pitchers in the SEC. He pitched as a freshman in 22, missed 23 because of an injury. I think he was in the running for SEC Pitcher of the Year last year. Just consummate professional, strikes with all his pitches, pounds his own, great competitor, great tone setter on a Friday. So he's tough. You know, Lampkin to me is an interesting guy because I think he's one of the more talented guys in the league and what I call like a tough to hit guy. Sometimes I'll watch him throw and he'll be lights out electric. And sometimes when he doesn't get outs, it's a little head scratching to me because I think he's got really, really good stuff. You know, like last year he mowed through us the first time through the order and then we popped 3 on the board really quickly. You know, stuff like that has kind of happened. And then Miles Patton, that was a guy out of the portal, like we wanted to get, and we're not able to get him. Like we didn't even really get that far in the recruiting process. You know, just wasn't interested. And, but he's had a good season and is a good guy to have going in game 3. They're all a little different. So, you know, we got to, you know, use our depth to our advantage probably this weekend in terms of the lineup and who starts and who pinch hits and all those types of things. So, you know, they're going to make it hard on you. So you got to take really quality at bats. And the last 2 games, we've kind of been back to that, you know, that offensive wheelhouse, so to speak, that we were in for most of the season.
Coach Johnson, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck beating the Aggies and the weather out there at College Station.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. That was LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson. The second-ranked Tigers have some big, you know, SEC play coming up. We're going to have that game for you tomorrow, a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Those Aggies, they are going to be, you know, kind of anxious, though, after getting swept last weekend in Austin.
I wasn't even thinking about it. Steve, I might have to go check my weather app. I really hope we don't have
any kind of
delays.
It's not looking good for us tomorrow, Charlie.
Oh, no.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We had some Tiger talk with LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson, and we'll continue on the LSU feel with Buddy Songy, TigerBait.com analyst, joining us now here on WWL. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing outstanding, guys, as always, enjoying the weather, getting ready for a big softball weekend at Arkansas baseball at Texas A&M. Always good to chew the fat and have a lot of fun with you guys.
Buddy, you're not getting a suntan and, you know, bathing by the pool, huh? What? Come on, tell me something
different. No, I'm not. I'm going home after a hard day of work. This Baton Rouge traffic compares with New Orleans traffic. But, you know, I hit the golf ball a little bit and get a little tan that way. But I don't think you and I are invited to too many swimming pools to suntan.
That's true. Buddy, we'll throw it right off the bat with LSU football first, and then we'll get around to baseball. But to see Will Campbell get picked as high as he got selected, and it's been 1998. Alan Faneca, you and I were doing a show regularly in 1998 when Alan got picked in round 1. We have not seen a Tiger offensive lineman get selected in round 1 since. And to think, buddy, Nick Saban won a national championship. Les Miles won a national championship. He went to a second national championship and lost to Alabama, and Coach O won one. None of them had a first-round pick offensive lineman, and you have 4 guys selected. You got to go back to 1947 for that to happen. How the hell this team couldn't run the ball? But first of all, a little bit about Will Campbell. He was a special guy, in that, man, he treated practice like a game, and he wanted to kick your backside every time he got on that field. But I think sometimes we don't appreciate how good Will Campbell was at LSU, and now you got a rebuilding job to do along that offensive line for 2025.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Mike. Well said. Look, you know, we were asking the proverbial question, when is the last time LSU has had an offensive line start in their first game? Of course, there's been a handful of them. But Will Campbell at left tackle, and the great thing about it, Mike, I know you heard the story, is that he gave up a sack in his first game to the Florida State edge rusher, and he goes back to the sidelines and tells BK, I know what happened, it'll never happen again. Now, I think Will might have given up 3 or 4 sacks in 3 years, something minuscule like that. But that was the big question last year. BK told all of us, we're going to lean on that offensive line. They are the strong point of our offense. Our tackles are going to pull. We're going to, and of course, Will, the big knock on him is that Vegas, and everybody thought he was smart talking smack. That's just Will. He said, look, it's a business trip. We're going to go punch somebody in the mouth. Unfortunately, they were not able to live up to the standards that everybody had for the O-line last year. And that's why, Mike, this first game, having Clemson with 2 edge rushers projected to go in the first round, and you've got 2 new tackles, Tyree Adams, a redshirt sophomore on the left side, Weston Davis, a redshirt freshman on the right side, Tyree, a sophomore, they've got to have their hands full and work cut out for them. But that was the biggest question, disappointment, that the offensive line was not closer to winning the Joe Moore Award like they did in 19.
When you look at what occurred in the spring, and sometimes it's a bit of a mirage, you know, I've done this a long time. What you see in the spring sometimes doesn't equate to what happens during the regular season. What impressed you about what you were able to see? And if I wouldn't know no better, I'd swear Coach O's back in there, you know, limiting that practice availability for y'all to see. But what sort of stood out to you in what you were able to see in spring drills, or maybe a couple guys in particular that really stood out to you?
Well, look, Mike, this is one of the things that I asked Coach Kelly about, and you know this as well as anybody. These teams don't hit as much as they used to, and they don't really hit a lot. They limited a lot of our stuff. We do see individual drills. Now, BK's been relatively well. We've seen some practices, not this year, but in previous years. But the biggest thing that stands out is that they spent a ton of money, and they have a lot of plug-and-play guys that they hope are going to come in and do the job in year one. Jack Tyburn came in here to that locker room in day one and said, hey, guys, I'm just telling you the way it is. You guys are soft. Do we have Charmin as a corporate sponsor this year? No. We're going to get physical. We're going to rough you up. We're going to punch you in the mouth, and then we're going to talk smack. LSU's always had the smack talkers. Now we got to see if they can walk the walk. But the 3 edge rushers from the edge, along with Butler and Patrick Payton and Tyburn, all going to play. I told you this when we were on last time. Delane is definitely going to start at one corner opposite Ashton Stamps, and a lot of people put him as a possible first-round pick. You got Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins coming back, and they weren't available. Jacoby and Gilry got in a little bit at the end. Jordan Gilbert, the safety who played last year, was hurt. So you try to bring on some other guys, but they've got more players. They've got more depth. Obviously, you got to protect Nuss. You got to throw the football and get rid of it quickly. And, Mike, I tell you, from a defensive standpoint, if they get this last safety that they're going after, A.J. Salcy from Houston, if they get him, then I will say Blake Baker will be very happy with the pieces. They're going to get at the people. You know all about that gotta. We talk about that mentality, but they're going to be appreciably improved on defense. It all hinges on opening holes, protecting us, and then, of course, scoring touchdowns in the red zone instead of kicking field goals.
Buddy, I know Charlie got some baseball questions for you, but I'm going to ask you one about basketball. Do you think Matt McMahon has done enough? And, man, that's a lot of new faces on this basketball team. And the SEC in basketball is difficult to make that big jump. Has he done enough to put himself in a position to survive 2025-26 season because of the fact, man, the SEC is so competitive, really good athletes. Every once in a while you can find a freshman that can come into play. But now it's all about the portal and NIL to bring in guys. In your opinion, has he done enough and brought in enough talent to have this team competitive in a super competitive conference in basketball?
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question, Mike. You don't know how these young men are going to perform with a notch or two up in competition. Now, you got a really good point guard from Vegas who's really good with the ball and is going to facilitate them in transition a lot more smoothly. Last year, I thought that some of the guards had dribbleitis, just nonsensical dribbling, way too much dribbling. If you see the great teams, spacing, a lot of pick and roll. You don't need to dribble. You pass, you cut. You try to get a better shot. At times, they just went down the floor and jacked up a three. But, Mike, I don't even think Coach McMahon, he's got some good recruits coming in. He retained a few guys. But right now, that would be a tough window to bet on if you had to decide if LSU would make NCAA tournament or not next year. I just don't think anybody knows until they get on campus and play together, and we'll start to see their action in October, November. But it's a crapshoot right now, Mike.
Buddy, before I get your preview of the final couple of weeks of SEC play for the Tiger baseball team, you know, Mike brought up earlier with Will Campbell going fourth overall to the Patriots. I thought a couple Tigers went, like, lower than expected in the draft this past week, and Miles Frazier was one of them. He was, Mike, I think, Mike, you were 86th ranked player on your big board. He goes all the way to 171 in the fifth round, but he goes to Detroit. And this is what I want to get at, is the landing spots for some of these players. He goes to Dan Campbell. I think that's a great spot for him. And then Braden Swinson, who was someone that we had heard was going to be a day two pick, he goes in the fifth round as well. He also goes to New England alongside Will Campbell, and he goes up there with Coach Vrabel and, you know, the tough-minded trench play that you got up there. I think it's great landing spots for both Frazier and Swinson. Though I think they both went kind of underdrafted.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Charlie. Look, Emory Jones, everybody wanted him to come back, and him and his family made a decision to go out. Mike, I remember when Trey Turner went out, and everybody, including myself, was opining, man, you made a mistake. And, of course, the joke was on us. He ended up playing a good 10 years in the league or whatever. But Emory Jones could have come back and maybe got a better draft grade next year in a higher position. But, Mike, you know this. Charlie, you know this. That 1 year that you stay in college, that's a whole year where you're making money, and you do have the risk of getting hurt your senior year. That being said, Miles Frazier, if he doesn't fall on the running back's toes, he's a hell of a prospect. And we know that you mentioned Braden Swinson. I met Braden Swinson's daddy at the summer practices, and we talked a little bit. I think that young man has a lot of potential. I was shocked he fell that low, to be honest.
Absolutely. And I wanted to bring up those final 3 weeks of conference play, buddy, before we let you run. And with this upcoming weekend against Texas A&M, LSU's 14-7 in SEC play. They're in a good spot, but you have Texas A&M on the road, this resurgent Aggie bunch that's just completely turned it around from their 1-9 SEC start. And then you have Arkansas, one of the best teams in the SEC, right up there with LSU. And then you have South Carolina. I think, you know, if you talk to a lot of national college baseball writers, they say maybe the quote-unquote magic number to get in the top eight national seeds is 20 SEC wins. And that includes taking two or three in each of these final 3 weekends. What's your thoughts on LSU's final 3 weekends to close things out?
I think 19 might get them in there, but certainly 20 would. Look, you go on the A&M playing 6 o'clock tomorrow night, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. All three of those games streamed on SEC Network Plus. A&M just got kicked to the curb by that big brother, Texas. They were in all three games and lost all three games by one run. Always a tough place to play. Charlie, if they win Friday night, Cade Anderson going against a really good lefty. Oh, by the way, folks, A&M throwing three left-handers all weekend long, so you'll see Ethan Frye and a lot of the right-handed batters in the lineup this weekend. But look, if you get one this weekend and then two against Arkansas at home, and then you go take it out, the frustrations on Maneri, and either get two or three there, that puts you at 19 or 20, and it makes the SEC tournament, which they've historically done well at, irrelevant because you'll get the double bye in the tournament, and, of course, you'll be a top eight seed. I think that's the key. The good things to add real quick, Michael Braswell coming on and hitting the long ball. Derek Curiel hitting the long ball. Jared Jones, watch out when you wake up a sleeping bear. I know you guys have to have a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, did you hear Coca-Cola sponsoring the games this weekend in Texas A&M? Coke bottle glasses for all four umpires this weekend. And Joe Harris was trying to tell Jared Jones after that walk-off home run at 1:20 in the morning, giddy up, let's go. And he opines to the guy and says, hey, man, this game is over. You get the sleeping bear up. Now if you get a slump buster for Stephen Milam and he starts to hit the ball, you got good karma. And, of course, Cason Evans, as we know, instead of relieving and finishing out a game, he started in game three. Good things, good karma for LSU baseball right now, the way they're playing. But you guys know it's always tough on the road.
Yeah, buddy, no question about it. And, man, it's great to have these LSU seasons extend. You know, because we want that trip to Omaha. And, you know, it gives us content in June that we can talk about and kind of some dead days of summer. But, man, it never ends for LSU athletics. If it's football, basketball, baseball, it's literally 365, 24/7.
Hey, by the way, Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky coming into the PMAC tomorrow night to play an exhibition. Still a lot of fans with that. Full Wiley from South Carolina, explosive with the basketball. It's going to be a trio of guards, Michaela Williams, Flage, and Full Wiley. And then, as you said, baseball. Mike, we used to talk about it. I said this very same thing on the show today. Used to be it would be so slow once you got into May, June. Now with social media, there's a story every day, whether it's Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, and, hey, Charlie, you can tell Miles Frazier, cheer up. You got drafted in the same round as Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, pal.
Good talking to you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
All righty. Little pal, Buddy Songy from TigerBait.com. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. We come back at 5:20. Dick Girardi, been covering the horse racing business for a long time. Kentucky Derby coming up this Saturday. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.